Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. I am your guest host for today. My name is Stephanie Whitehead. And if you're not familiar with the eLaborate Topics podcast, we are a weekly podcast that has been around for the last 4 years, sharing weekly messages about laboratory and leadership to help you develop on and off of the bench. Myself and my co-hosts Tywana Wilson and Lona Small love to share these messages with you, our international audience. So make sure that you share this episode out and join our LinkedIn group. Be part of our conversation and be part of our community. And today we've got an episode based off of a recent article that I did, and I'll link it in the show. I recently did a blog for Today's Clinical Lab magazine called The Strength of the Introverted Leader. And I've got a fellow introverted leader with me today on our show. Jenny, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me, Stephanie.
No problem. So, Jenny, before I get too deep into the episode, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your lab journey and what led you to being a leader? Like, how did your lab journey unfold?
I love telling this part of my story because I feel like it is a bit of a unique journey. So, hello, everybody. I'm Jennifer Becker. I'm the laboratory supervisor and quality officer at Urology Nevada in Reno, Nevada. I started my lab journey as a phlebotomist when I was still in my undergrad for neuroscience at the University of Nevada, Reno. And I just felt like I had discovered where I belonged. And so I climbed the ladder from there, worked as a specimen processor, worked in pathology, cytology, was continuing school, became a mom, and then became an MLS. And I was a generalist at Carson Tahoe Regional Medical Center in Carson City, Nevada, where I did microbiology and blood bank as my two main niches. And then I also did hematology, coag, and urinalysis. That's where I spent the majority of my time during the pandemic, and then was given this opportunity at Urology Nevada to have my own lab. So I went from the hospital setting to a clinic setting, physician office lab, building a lab from the ground up. And we are doing molecular diagnostics, molecular microbiology for complicated UTIs and antimicrobial resistance genes. We are trying to bring in core labs for our ambulatory surgery center and our hormone replacement therapy program, and are even breaking into clinical research. So I'm very excited to be here.
I love to hear you talk about your laboratory journey, because it's, you know, everybody's journey is a winding road. And people, you know, will often say, and you'll see memes and other photos that show that, you know, success is not a straight line. It's a winding road. And that's exactly what yours is. And so congratulations on all your success over there.
Thank
in Nevada.
You.
She is rocking things out there, guys. And so if you're in that area, make sure that you connect with her and meet you a new fantastic lab friend. But your lab journey is a little bit about like mine, like your pathway into leadership kind of got thrust upon you.
Yes.
Mine kind of came out of nowhere too. Mine came because I was a little bit of a smart aleck. You know, I was an MLS working the night shift, and I hated my supervisor. And from where I sat on the bench, all this person did was push paperwork and, you know, look at the computer and sit in an office. And I was just like, I can do that. Anybody can do that. And so I applied for a job in management and got it, and quickly understood that, you know, a leader in the laboratory's role is anything but mundane and day to day. But as I prepared for all the technical stuff about being a leader, I really didn't think about it. Was an afterthought about all of the psychosocial and all of the interpersonal and we call it soft skills now, but it's really just skills that you need, interpersonal skills of being a great leader. It was more of an afterthought. I found it really difficult being an introverted person. What was your experience?
So I am one of those like extroverted introverts.
Me too.
And I think that's one of the things why you and I clicked so quickly. I have that kind of same demeanor where it's a little bit of a smart aleck, a little sarcastic is like my fluency. But, you know, at my core, I'm actually an introvert, and it's very uncomfortable for me to sometimes, you know, branch out and speak out about things that, you know, maybe I see a process that could be improved, or, you know, introducing myself to new people is very hard. All that sort of thing. So, I think it kind of started for me really, actually because of the pandemic. I had the opportunity during the 2020 ASCP annual meeting that was virtual to have the one-on-one breakout sessions. And I had the opportunity to have one with Taiwana and one with Michelle Campbell. And these were people who, you know, I'd heard their name. I hadn't read Taiwana's book yet, but I'd purchased it. And I was like, these are the people that have that secret sauce. You know, they've got the sauce. And I want to know, what do you do? What do you do over there that's different than what I do? And I really just kind of sought to emulate some of the behaviors of the people that I looked up to, and to insert myself into positions that are way outside my comfort zone, because that's what they would do. And if I wanted to be in a position such as, like, you know, Michelle Campbell, I look up to her so, so much. With how she does like all the lab developed tests and stuff like that. I'm like, that's what I want to do. How do I do that? You have to insert yourself into some very uncomfortable situations, and you have to have that 30 seconds of just insane courage to speak up about a process or a test or something else that you see value in that you need to get other people to see value in. And so I started just doing that. I started asking questions. I started asking how we, and this was when I was at Carson Tahoe, how we could get our lab, you know, more visible. How could we improve our relationship, especially with nursing? We had a really big kind of silo problem, and nobody had ever really done that before. So I kind of got just absorbed into the nursing shared governance structure. And before I knew it, I was co-chairing on the Ancillary Services Council, and I was on the Research and Education Council, where it was my position to actually be educating nurses about lab processes. Like, what do your lab results mean? Order of draw. I was giving, you know, presentations to the new grad nurses that were coming in to make sure they understood culture tubes and blood culture results and all the things. And for me, it really just... Anytime I have a situation where I have an opportunity, and it's a big opportunity, and I know it's a solid opportunity, I say yes, and then I kind of figure out the rest later. I deal with my anxiety about having to be uncomfortable later. And I just kind of pin it up on the wall. I'm like, we're gonna deal with those feelings once it's all said and done. And then kind of right before, you know, my presentation or annual meetings or anything else that takes me out of that comfort zone, I just tell myself, okay, Jen, 30 seconds of insane courage. And then I go in and I just do it. But I have to recharge a lot afterwards. It takes a toll.
No, absolutely. And I completely understand what you're saying. We're going to talk tips and hacks for introverted leaders. And Jenny has already given you one awesome tip, which is, you know, if you don't know how to maybe interact in social networking sessions, or really how to, you know, quote unquote, put yourself out there, find you a person that interacts the way that you would like to interact. Jenny mentioned that, you know, she was watching from afar Taiwana Wilson and Michelle Campbell, who are powerhouses in the laboratory profession, and just start acting the way they would act, you know. And I hate this phrase, but it's pretty much fake it till you make it, you know, start acting the way you want to act, because it starts in your mind first. Start emulating the thoughts, the behaviors and process that another person would, until you can envelop those for yourself. And then the second tip and hack is action first behavior. You know, whenever you have that moment of hesitation, whenever you have that moment of anxiety, whenever you have that moment where your thought processes are going to kill an inspirational idea or an amount of courage that you have, just act. You know, either you do the Mel Robbins 5-4-3-2-1, or you do some peak positive intelligence, you know, reps with, you know, rubbing your fingers together or trying to feel a sensation, or just like Jenny said, 30 seconds of courage and just move forward and act. I want to ask you, Jenny, a lot of people assume that extroverts make better leaders because of their outgoing nature. But what are your thoughts on that, being an introverted leader?
I think that being an introverted leader makes me a little bit more empathetic to people. And that is, you know, we all have different leadership styles, and there's, you know, value in all leadership styles. But one of the kind of cornerstones of my leadership style is my empathy. And I feel like it allows me to really stop to consider how either my other team members feel, how even my higher ups feel, how anybody that I'm trying to coach may feel about a situation, to try to reach kind of the most diplomatic solutions, especially if it's a new process or, you know, maybe it's a project and trying to delegate things. I think it makes me a lot more fair in that regard, because I try to make sure that everybody's both needs are being met and everybody's feelings are being taken into consideration. Do they actually have the bandwidth to take this thing on that I'm trying to delegate to them or not? And I think it can also be a caveat, though. So I do want to be very clear on that, because at least for me, and this is something that I'm working on personally, is that empathy can also trigger you to maybe take a little bit too much on yourself. Like, you want to take things off of your team because they're feeling, you know, overburdened and maybe they're stretched a little too thin. And so you go, well, I'll just do it myself. Oh, I'll just do it myself. And then your plate becomes overflowing. So it's a tricky balance, but I also think that it's what makes me a better leader.
It's that balance and boundaries, right? You have to understand where your boundaries are and where you need to delegate. But that's, you know, I would concur with that for myself. And I also think because connecting with others takes so much thought and effort on my part, even though, like you, I am an extroverted introvert. If you actually take the test, and we can link a test here if you want to just see what you are as we talk about this, if you're listening. But I'm one of those people that, you know, in a social setting that I can, you know, go around the room and meet new people and start conversations. But it does take a lot out of me. And I do need a moment afterwards to get back to, you know, myself and find a way to center and, you know, do the things that bring me completeness and wellness afterwards. And like I said about what you mentioned, I think because it takes so much for me to build connections, I value those connections more. So when I am meeting with my team, or I am, like you said, coaching somebody, I'm really attentive to what's happening in that moment, because it takes so much for me to be present in that moment that I really want to make sure that both of us are getting meaning out of every interaction. And so for you, as you're going through your leadership journey, building relationships within your organization and within your profession, and creating a network, which is essential for every leader. Because that can be hard for introverts, what are your strategies to communicate effectively and connect with others and kind of step outside of your own box?
That's a really good question. And I feel like I had to learn it the hard way. So I'm really glad we're talking about this. And obviously what works for me isn't going to work for everybody, but with the first couple of ASCP annual meetings that I attended, I attended virtually. So I was still in my safe little bubble. When I attended first in person was the 2022 meeting. And I was so excited. I was finally meeting everybody that I'd been networking with for 2 years at that point in person, but I didn't realize the toll that it was going to take on me because I felt like I already knew them. And so I didn't have these strategies, in place. So I really had to, at last year's meeting, develop a plan of attack for how to survive the meetings, because they can be very draining on an introvert. So some of my strategies before any big meeting, any big networking event, anything like that, a lot of mindfulness exercises, box breathing, 5-minute YouTube videos that are, mindfulness meditations, just getting really centered and grounded and present. And then I, go into the meeting. And then at the end of the day, it is just as important to decompress and let it all go. So whether that's another mindfulness meditation or journaling is one of my favorites. That's one of the ones I talk about probably the most. And it can sometimes be the toughest, I think, to do because you're already exhausted. Maybe you had a really, really busy day. The last thing you want to do is sit down and write. But you don't necessarily have to have a pen and paper or a computer journal that you type out. You can even just use the Voice Memos app on your phone. And I will talk through, I'm sure anybody who is in, the next hotel room to me at annual meetings must think I'm crazy, but I will talk through, okay, here were my takeaways. Here's what I learned. Here were the opportunities and the things that inspired me. Here were the things that maybe not so much. What would I do about that? What would I do differently tomorrow? What would I do differently the next time I have this opportunity to meet with people? Here's the list of the people that I need to follow up with. And even if I don't establish anything like a timeline of how long I'm going to give myself to follow up with them, I still just at least make a list. These are the people I need to, reach out to after the meeting, things like that. And I feel like having that balance on both sides, like the amping yourself up for it, while still also just being very true to our introverted nature, going within and recharging, powering up, go out there, do the thing. And then afterwards you can go back within and recharge. So having it on both sides to keep yourself from burning out from those types of situations.
Right. And that's key. You don't want to burn out. I do love those tips. I did not know that the 2022 annual meeting was your first time meeting like so many people in person. I just learned something new. Yes. You did great. I would have never known. You walked up with like levels of confidence that I had not seen.
For that one, I also stayed in an Airbnb because I wasn't even ready to stay at the hotel.
I remember
you scared to stay at the hotel. Stayed in an Airbnb.
People, for our listeners, they can't see us, but we can see each other because we're recording this right now virtually on video. But if you could see my face, I'm so shocked because, Jenny had reached out to me and we're talking in historical context right now, right? But right now when we're recording this, this is April of 2024. We're referring the annual ASCP meeting that happened in 2022 in Chicago, where the infamous and amazing Michelle Obama was our keynote speaker. And, Jenny had been reaching out to me on social medias. She had been following up on those connections, saying that she wanted to connect with me. She came across as the most confident person. So if you're listening, yes, take advantage of these strategies that she is using, because I was none the wiser that she had these issues.
I have to give a big thank you and shout out to Aaron Odegaard for that one. Cause he kind of at that meeting, he just took me under his wing and he's like, okay, I'm just going to introduce you to everybody. And I was honestly fangirling. I was just like, okay, act cool. because I was starstruck by all of you. I'd been following you guys for years, and here I was getting to meet you in person. It was a big deal. Yeah.
I'm actually really surprised. I mean, you fit right into, you know, every conversation perfectly. I would have thought I'd known you for years. So, you know, it just goes to show that if you connect with yourself, never underestimate the power of preparation. Whatever you got to do to prepare yourself to have the courage, have the confidence, have the tenacity to go into any situation, make sure you do that. If we're talking about a conference here, make sure that you look up the speakers, make sure that you are looking at what sessions you want to go to, you know, make sure that you're staying in a place. If it has to be an Airbnb, make sure you're staying in a place where you feel comfortable and can decompress and can be yourself. But make sure you figure out what strategy works for you. That's amazing. Another tip that I have for connecting with other people is don't underestimate the power of the internet. You know, the internet can, you know, be our best friend and our worst enemy, but the internet can be a powerful tool for introverts. I'm sorry. Yes. Because it gives you the opportunity to connect with other people on, you know, professional organization communities. I know ASCLS has a community page. ASCP has a community page. You have LinkedIn, you've got Twitter where many laboratory people frequent and comment and, you know, have, you know, thought-provoking conversations, but you can join in and just like Jenny did, you know, reach out to people from the comfort of your own home and from the safety of your own space, you know, and use the internet to make that first connection until you feel comfortable having that face-to-face connection. I do want to ask you as a leader, sometimes introverts may struggle with confidence or being assertive. And so with your team, have you had to overcome any barriers to decision-making or confidence in making decisions or being assertive with people because, you know, of your introverted nature?
Absolutely have. It was a big takeaway for me going back to, once again, the 2022 meeting. That meeting was just life-changing for me. And mentioning Michelle Obama, in her keynote speech, she talked a great deal about authenticity. And in that moment, I felt like I was being spoken to directly, to be honest. Because I loved what she said about showing up as the same you, no matter if you're at home with your kids, if you're at work, if you're at a big annual meeting like that, if you're at a big, like if you're having to give a big presentation, showing up authentically as yourself and nothing but yourself is just one of the most powerful strategies for that. And so, even when I have been in situations where I have to be a little more assertive, or I have to make difficult decisions or difficult calls, I don't do it unless I feel like it is 100% authentic to me and what my goals are. Now, if you have very ambitious goals, but you are an introvert and it's, an extra barrier to achieving some of those goals, you have to find your why. I know Taiwana talks all the time about your why, having your why. And when you can come back to that why, it helps you zoom in on your reason for being there, your reason for doing the thing that you're doing. And that will kind of engage that authenticity so that you can do the hard thing. But being assertive, we could have a whole nother episode about this too, Stephanie. I feel like, especially for women, and especially in laboratory medicine, being assertive is a little bit of a dance because you don't want to get misunderstood or mislabeled as, you know, bossy or aggressive or any of the negative connotations that can get brought up with that as well. And as far as making difficult decisions, sometimes I will just speak right up and tell people, I need to sleep on this. I need to think about this. And I give them a reasonable timeline about when I can get back to them about it so that I can go home to my bubble where I feel safe and where I can get recentered and regroup and then go, okay, how do I want to tackle this from my perspective? Authentic to me, just me. And does that align with my goals? If it's not in alignment, it's not going to work. Does it align with my values? If it doesn't, then it's not going to work. And then I'll brainstorm other options so that if I have to come back to say, well, you know, that isn't going to work for me, but here's what would, I'm also offering solutions.
Yeah, a lot of this is about not only knowing who you are and not only knowing what works for you, but then also embracing that, right? And yes, not any letting anyone or any situation kind of remove you from that. And so there's a little bit of work that you have to do as a listener to understand, you know, where is my safe space mentally, you know, emotionally, psychologically, what calms me down, what gives me strength, what recharges me, and, you know, how, what makes me feel comfortable. And in these situations, you know, what is my safety plan for myself, you know? So,
I think a high pressure, I think, you know, sometimes making difficult decisions or difficult calls for introverts can be, especially difficult when you are in, you know, like a high pressure situation or a very public setting, or a very crowded, you know, conference room or anything like that. Or maybe you're actually the one giving the presentation and somebody poses a very difficult question to you. I love what you said there about it's, you know, knowing where your little safe place is, that thing that gives you comfort, and then just having the brief moment of courage that it takes to speak up and say, I need to take a minute, take a beat on that, and I'll get back to you so that you can go to where you feel safe and then mull it over, rather than making a snap decision when you're in that kind of high pressure, uncomfortable situation.
Now, for listeners who are out there who may be like you, and they may look at you and say, Jenny is somebody I look up to. She's so confident in her leadership role. I want to be like her. Just the way you said you looked at Michelle Campbell, or Taiwana, or look up to Aaron Odegaard, who are, you know, really just infamous names in our profession. People who may look up to you and say, you know what, I could never do what Jenny's doing. I could never go to an annual meeting. I could never, you know, speak or put myself out there. I could never be on a podcast. That's just not in it for me. Like, I'm way too insecure. I'm way too introverted. What advice would you give to aspiring listeners who doubt their ability to succeed because they are introverts?
I would say, if I can do it, you can do it.
Simple.
That's simple. If I can do it, you can do it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And do you use any like podcast or books other than our own podcast, obviously, but resources to help develop your skills?
Well, I've been a longtime fan of Elaborate Topics. You know, binge watch or binge listen to their episodes, past episodes, because there's so many great nuggets in there. For me, I also have a very powerful spiritual journey. Looks a little different than other people. So even bringing that into my professional life, as far as confidence building, inner healing, inner work, understanding my value, my worth, what I bring to the table, it's holistic. It's not isolated to just my career. It is all of me all the time, 100% of the time. And it took years of work to get there. And there's a ton that I could recommend. Obviously, my bias is that most of them are geared more towards women and professional women. One book that I read recently that I would highly recommend to any professional is called Ladies Get Paid I am blanking out on the author's name at the moment, but that book had actual like action steps that you can take for negotiating salary, for negotiating a promotion, for how to deal with being an introvert in a professional space. So that one was a really good one. The Gift of Imperfection is another really good one, because when you give yourself permission, you write, like I even had to write it in my journal, like a permission slip, wrote it to myself, where I gave myself permission to not have to be perfect all the time. Which can be difficult in our profession, because, you know, we are known for our reliability, our quality, you know, our reproducibility. I mean, that's what makes good scientists. However, you can't be perfect all the time. And when you give yourself that permission to be imperfect, I think as introverts, it kind of breaks a little bit down of that barrier where you are telling yourself that you can't. It starts to break down some of those self-limiting beliefs. And that was very liberating for me when I learned to stop the internal monologue of these self-limiting beliefs.
So what's one final piece of takeaway that you want the listeners, aspiring leaders or actual leaders that are also introverts like us, to take away from the episode that we had the privilege of having you on today?
Thank you so much. I think my last note would be everybody's different and everybody's brain just works differently. And I think that these are such important conversations to have. And for anybody listening, you know, if you're wondering like, well, I don't really know my personality style. I don't really know my leadership style. Do I even have a leadership style? You do. It's in there. And I ask you to go and find it, because the more of us that truly know ourselves and can show up as ourselves in our professional spaces, and can have these kinds of conversations where we are kind of destigmatizing the usual characteristics of the typical leader, the more we can make progress, I think, as an entire community.
Thank you so much. That was beautifully said.
Oh, thank you.
Now, before I let you go, we have a tradition here in season 4 where we are asking our previous guests to give a question for us to ask to a future guest, and they don't know who the guest will be. And so I have a question here from a previous guest this season named Anna Marie Dietrichson. And her question to a future guest, which I'm going to ask you, is at the end of your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
Oh my. So this also has to do with kind of my why, like, and what I have determined through my own personal work is like my purpose in life as a whole, not just even my career. And that is challenging the status quo. I challenge everything. Just because it was the way we always did it doesn't mean it's the way we have to continue to do it.
And that is the only way to move forward with progress.
That's right.
One more question before I let you go. As a long-term listener to the Elaborate Topics podcast, name one guest that you like to see or hear on our show. But there is a catch, because the person that you name, you have to help me get them on the show.
Oh, man.
No, I'm not familiar with her. Who is that?
She is, I think she mostly works with AABB, but she's, she does like Bledgeducation on Twitter and everything like that, where she's very active in the space of educating people about blood banking. So that was, she'd be a really good guest, I think, or Chloe Thompson from AABB.
Okay. Whoa, me and you have some work to do. Daniela, okay. Chloe, we're coming for you.
I did also at LUGPA annual meeting last year, I had the opportunity to meet Dr. Glockenflecken, is his screen name. And he's an ophthalmologist, actually, but he has some tremendous stories for patient advocacy as well.
Wow. Okay. Well, I look forward to you helping me make those connections. Jenny, for any of the listeners who are inspired by this and want to connect with you, can you let the listeners know how they can reach out to you?
Yes, I am available at jbecker127@gmail.com or jbecker@urologynevada.com. And I am on all social media platforms as Jenny Bex, JeniBecks.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. This was amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
And thank you for listening today. Remember to share this out with your introverted and extroverted friends in the lab leadership, in the laboratory community also, and let's support each other in all of our efforts. Here we go. Another week done. And we look forward to you all listening to us again next week. And until then, have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.